Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Once upon a time, on a random afternoon, two queers decided to review the church on Ruby Road. They carried the most precious gift of all, the ability to serve right in your ears. Hello and welcome to Come Along Pond, a Doctor Who discussion podcast with your two best queers. Elliot.
And Damla, where only one of us is allowed to say cunt when she finds it funny, the other one. Get stopped legally. Hello.
hello. You all right, darling?
Oh, yeah, I'm okay, Mrs. Flood. How are you?
Don't, because I'm... Right, you lot, yeah. This episode is just so brimming with goodness. Like, we're not ready. You can't spring her on me that quickly. I wasn't ready.
It's just the way you said, hello, darling.
Hello, Anne. Hello. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. I actually have a little anecdote to start off with today.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Everyone's just clicked off. They're like, we're not here for you. So yesterday I went on a lovely little Doctor Who-y day out with Lucy and Kirby, who are TARDIS Whovians on Instagram and Gallifreyan Girl on TikTok. Check out their content. Very, very, very good stuff. And we all
actually,
went
to... To be fair, everybody, do be excited for the anecdote, because even I didn't know this. So.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So we went on a Doctor Who day out yesterday, and we went and did the Dalek Awakened escape room with Escape Hunt. I mentioned it to you ages ago, babe. It was so long ago. Like, it was ages ago.
I know, but I would have thought that you would have liked to have been like, yeah, this is what I've been doing today. I've had a nice time. You know, oh, I told them you said hello. No, instead, just spring it on me.
Anyway, yeah, I'm springing it on you, because what was more important was the fact we went to Forbidden Planet afterwards. But we'll get to that. So went and did the Dalek Escape Room, which was good. Standard.
Good.
And... it was very, very fun. And then afterwards, I was like, girlies, we need to go to Forbidden Planet. Like, let's see what's going on. And I went and picked up a Shooty Gatwa shirt for £5. It was in the sale. And I was like, well, if I leave without this, that is the most homophobic thing I would have ever done. But then the second thing I picked up, I have right here. And for everyone who's watching in the visual medium, patreon.com/comealongpornpodcast. I have this shooty mug, which is also, hold on, I'm turning it around, showing it to the camera. A Ruby mug. Sorry, I'm covering her face. There it is. And you know what? It's actually really good quality and it was only £6. Like, I'm actually just living my best life over here. Like, come to Patreon. See us living our best lives, people.
Well, one of us.
Yeah, no. But also, hold on. Sorry, I need to show this. Last time I was for Forbidden Planet, I picked up this 14th Doctor coaster. It's actually popping off over there. It's really popping off over there.
Was that a lenticular coaster?
No, it actually isn't. It looks like it, but it was just a lot of glare on it.
I was going to say, because if that's horrible.
Yeah, no, I hate lenticular things. Ew.
I couldn't keep a drink on top of something that's lenticular. Anyway, I was told about the trip to Forbidden Planet. So Lucy, Kirby, that should probably tell you what damn I think about your company. Sorry,
girlies. The mug was more important, I have to say.
Oh, well, no, I'm glad you had a good time. Sounds nice.
Yeah. No, we had fun. And there was like a bit in the escape room where a specific code word needs to be put into a specific machine. And all I'll say is when I figured out the code word, I died. I just about died. And Elliot, I'll tell you what it is afterwards.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell me.
But anyway, yes, we don't want to spoil the escape room for anyone. So I won't say the code word because you need to do it yourself. Don't cheat. Naughty, naughty. Anyway. Oh, yeah.
Just in case anyone's interested in the coasters that I have. I have several of them dotted around. I have Dune ones, so this is my House Atreides coaster.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got some normal Dune ones. I've got some Harkonnen ones. So, yeah.
Before we go any further, if you want to support our coaster buying habits, again, Patreon, please, in the show notes. But before we go any further, guys, it's that time again. It's that wonderful time again. We have three mails. It's Three Mail Corner. Emails from you lovely, lovely listeners that you've emailed into us. If you want to email in, link in the show notes. But Elliot, grace us with the lovely, lovely emails that people have sent into us.
Well, they always are a random assortment. But what I did to make it festive Christmas themed was I picked ones that we received in December. And the first email goes as follows. Good afternoon, Damon. Well, again, that's weird because it is an afternoon, but when you sent this, I assume it wasn't an afternoon. Maybe it is for you. Don't know where you're based, but apparently I received this at 10 to 4 in the morning. So,
fun.
Anyway, time travel. Thank you so much for a fantastic podcast about one of my favourite TV shows. Though I'm slowly making my way through the pod, you've been able to readjust my previous thoughts on Rose. And the initial two seasons of Doctor Who, as well as help demonstrate the issues inherent within Moffat's writing. Well, we are haters.
We are haters, but also love him, but also really don't like him, but also really like him. Yes.
As such, I now have a greater appreciation for the earlier years of New Who, though Capaldi's run will always be my favourite. Well, you can't be right about everything. Hope you have a wonderful day ahead of the 60th anniversary. I actually lose your mind. The email is taking up most of your frame, so I just saw you just like sort of shunting off camera.
Shunting. Just shunting. Oh, man. Fucking hell.
Hope you have a wonderful day ahead of the 60th anniversary. We did. Thank you. Kind regards, Jack. He, him. Thank you, Jack.
Jack, thank you so much for making Elliot make that joke that made me laugh. I appreciate it. But no, honestly, thank you so much. And we did have a good time.
Everybody is valid. Their opinions here about Doctor Who are valid. I just like to make little jokes every now and then. It's not personal.
It's never personal. Except if it's about
never
me.
Personal.
Always personal.
Always. Always personal. Our next email goes as follows. Hi, I'm Cassidy. Great name, Cassidy. Never
Such
met
a good
Cassidy.
Name. Fantastic. Such a good name.
And over the past 2 weeks, I've binged all the episodes of the podcast, and I don't like the podcast. I love the podcast.
Okay.
That's why. I just read I don't like the podcast. I was like, wait, hang on.
Then why have you emailed in, babe? Hater.
I was like, oh no, hang on, I'm reading out hate mail. I've been a huge Doctor Who fan all my life, and the podcast is by far the best Doctor Who community I found on the internet. Every episode makes me laugh. So Aww. Thank you so much, Damla and Elliot, for making such a wonderful podcast. Also, can't wait for you to cover Series 10, as it's the only Moffat series I like.
Do you know what? Valid. Actually really valid.
I just realised, I sort of accidentally, I wonder if the third one, if there's going to be some Moffat bashing. I've just accidentally picked three ones where everyone's like, yeah, fucking Stephen Moffat, he's a
No, but also series 10 is that bitch. Like,
it is good. I do like series 10.
Yeah.
And 8 and 9.
5
no,
for me.
No, I don't. Actually, I don't like 9.
Love 5.
Anyway. I don't know why I said 9. I just actually thought about what is in series 9 and I don't like it.
Imagine using your brain. Imagine.
Well, I said let's all do two-parters, but none of them need to be two-parters.
We'll get there, save it.
Our final email goes as follows. Hi, Damler. Hi, Elliot. See, I like that. It's even. I'm Bianca. I assume I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly. Because some people would say Bianca. I'm Bianca. And I really love your podcast. I started watching DW more than a year ago, but unfortunately I'm really, really slow with TV series and I'm still at the beginning of series 4. Still, I can't wait to see the rest of it so that I can listen to your episodes. I've also unconsciously added "it's giving" to my vocabulary every day, and it does not always sound so good since I'm Italian. I hope I listen to more episodes soon. Have a nice day. Bianca. I kind of want to hear that. I want to know.
You are so welcome. You're so welcome. I'm just infecting everyone's fucking brains. We're just infecting people's brains.
But please email in Instagram us. I want to hear you say it's giving. I don't know why. It doesn't sound so good because I'm Italian. I just imagine it sounds better.
No, it's probably the best thing I've ever going to hear in my life.
Yes, I want to know. Either way, thank you for the email. And thank you, Jack. Thank you, Cassidy, as well, for your lovely emails. We really appreciate it.
Love all of you. Thank you. And please email in. Continue emailing in. We will read all of them.
Well, that's it from me there. Thank you, Jack, Cassidy, Bianca, for your emails. We do really appreciate them. But now it's time to take a sleigh ride.
Oh, God. I love
Come
you.
On.
I love you.
It's good, right? That's good.
I love you.
As you may have been able to tell by the wry, witty little bon mots up top, today we are talking about Doctor Who. Of course, the episode that was broadcast on the 25th of December, 2023. Didn't have to look that one up. It was directed by Mark Tondore, I think is how you say his name. And it was written by Russell T. Davies. It was, of course, called The Church on Ruby Road.
How do you talk about perfection? I don't actually know. How do you...
The best of the episodes that aired last year.
Yeah.
And I know lots of people who don't like it. And to all those people, you're boring.
All I'll say is this, right? We are here to provide controversy. always, forever. And before we go into the controversial content... Elliot, I have something I need to ask you. It's a really important question.
Oh, okay.
Because I know what this episode's about. Like, I know. Seen it enough times. Wikipedia knows what it's about. IMDb. Flipping Google. But, Elliot, I want to know what you think it's about. What is this episode about?
This episode is just... It's really nice. That's not even necessarily what the episode's about. It's my mission statement. It's nice again to have a doctor who believably just like fucks. So many people like, you know, I miss when the doctor's an awkward nerd. I'm like, I don't, because he's been an awkward nerd since like Matt Smith took over. I like super sexy suave Doctor Who. It's fun. Still a bit of a geek. But everybody in this episode is so thirsty for him. And so am I.
Yes, me too.
Love. So it's about the importance of having super sexy suave Doctor Who.
Yes, I agree.
What do you think it's about?
Well, it's about two things, actually. Two really important things. Like, so important. The most important things you're going to hear.
Mega.
First thing is, yeah, mega. Big thing. First thing is that Christmas trees are lethal, so please be wary out there for when it comes round to the festive period, because you can also indeed be impaled by your Christmas star on top of the tree. So please, be safe.
Be careful.
Be safe. Second thing, the most important thing, is that someone needs to get Cherry a cup of tea, because I swear to God... Treat my queen with respect. Put some respect on her name. Cherry Sunday, my favourite person.
Like a sweet treat.
Oh. Okay, Elliot, can I just go straight into this really quickly? Because I need to... I'm a little bit worried. Yeah. I'm actually a little bit stressed out. And I'll tell you why I'm stressed out. It's because... Are the Sundays going to take the reign for my favourite family over the Tylers? It's actually stressing me out. Is it already?
Honestly, they might do. I need them in and throughout series 14.
I need them. I just need them. I just need. Yeah. In fact, make a show about Ruby, Carla, and Cherry, and I will watch it.
Cherry Sunday is like one of my favourite characters we've had for ages. She's so. I would die for her.
I just. This is the thing. I feel like. I think the reason why, because in the last week's episode. I got a bit emotional on mic and I stopped myself. Mm-hmm. And the reason I got so emotional is because, like I said, for me, Shooty and his doctor and his era is symbolizing hope. It's symbolizing something new. And just like, it's really just, it's speaking to so many different types of people, especially speaking to me as well. And this episode, when it came on, it just absolutely, and also when we reviewed The Giggle, we had seen this episode because we waited. But it's just going in that direction. And it's just positive, camp, gorgeousness. And I just can't wait to get into it. Yeah, I just can't wait to get into it.
And it all feels new and exciting again.
Like, really exciting. I'm going to be so honest with you. I haven't felt this since, I want to say... No, I've not felt this in years.
I don't know. Yeah. Because
I don't know when, but yeah, long time.
For me, when I started watching Doctor Who back on broadcast again, it was for Sea Devils and Power of the Doctor going out. And, you know, obviously, Power of the Doctor, the ending was exciting, but it wasn't fresh. None of it was new, right?
No.
It's excitement for something else, whereas this was just like, I'm excited because I want the new thing.
Yeah, I think... Do you know what? I think I can pinpoint it. I think when Bill was introduced in series 10, that was the last time I was like, okay, we're getting something different, something new, like a companion that feels really unique and different. And she was amazing. And I love Bill. But yeah, it's been a while. But before we get into more of the specifics, so we both saw the episode on broadcast at Christmas.
Yeah. Well, I mean... I watched it on Boxing Day.
You watched it on Boxing Day, but we both watched it around the Christmas period on our televisions, like most people did. But rewatching it for this, you actually bought the Blu-ray, didn't you? And I think it's really... it's so fun. And I want you to discuss this experience. And we're not sponsored by Blu-ray or the BBC
but also,
to talk
HIV,
about this.
If you want to send me free copies of Doctor Who Blu-rays, please do.
Yes,
I buy all of my Blu-rays from you because I still support brick and mortar stores.
Yes, absolutely. But no, tell us about it, because like, I think people, obviously we are big supporters of physical media, aren't we?
Yes.
And I think it's just really important to talk about, because a lot of work goes into these things, and like, it's also a really fun and interesting way to just ingest media. So tell us about this Blu-ray, Elliot, please.
Well, I like most people, I think, I kind of hope that eventually The Church on Ruby Road gets included on a Series 1 box set or something, because I hate when they only do these as standalones.
Yeah.
But because I'd watched the 60th anniversary on Blu-ray, which I just wanted, I wanted to watch this on Blu-ray. This is actually my third time watching this.
Yeah.
And it's good. I didn't sort of, there's nothing revelatory in terms of like content, like there's nothing I noticed sort of being cut or missing, but only because if there is. There sort of seem to be little lines and things added in, especially from the goblins, that I don't remember there being on broadcast. Also, it was like a month and a half ago since I last watched this.
Yeah.
However, it has special features, which I know sounds sounds really stupid, but on the back of the box, it just says, contains special features. It actually has really interesting special features, and I'm going to read them out, much to everybody's boredom.
No, this is interesting. If you don't find this interesting, then you're boring.
The special features contain the Unleashed episode.
Yes.
As it should. Yeah. Behind the scenes.
Yes.
Which I haven't watched yet. Behind the scenes trailer. Odd. A get to know Doctor Who with Shuti Gower, which I do want to see.
Yeah.
A get to know Doctor Who with Millie Gibson, which I want to see. I have a feeling those are probably some of the like little promos and stuff they were doing on like Instagram.
Yeah.
With them from that one day they were like doing press stuff. It's probably those, but in like a thing. An InVision commentary, which I think is that thing they were doing.
Yes.
Which I haven't seen any of those. I know that's the one where Millie refers to Matt Smith's crack. That's what she calls when it comes up. She's like, and there's Matt's crack.
Do you know what? It's so funny because Millie Gibson is really, really me. Like, I am her, she is me. She's mentioned how much she fancies Matt Smith multiple times, and it's like, same.
And my favourite from the bonus features, which is why it's been safe for last, is there is a Millie Gibson set tour.
Oh, God, yeah. Love that.
And it's not super long. So it's like 3-4 minutes. But she takes you on a tour of the set that is the Sunday household.
Oh.
And it's really nice. I should say, actually, there is two things that I learnt from that set. Yeah, there's like all the normal set stuff, like how just fucking cool sets are.
Yeah.
You know, how like they've got a massive giant poster of the street they filmed on in Bristol outside to make it look like they're in the flat on location. You know, all the cool stuff that they do, things like that. But two things I learned. So there's two Easter eggs in the house. One of them I don't know. One of them I'll discuss first. I don't actually know what it is.
Okay.
The other one we'll all know. So there's like a couple of pizza menus up. I think you see one on the fridge.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, all the children on the fridge, they're cast and crew. Baby
photos. Oh, that's so sweet.
Which is adorable. The pizza menu, Millie points to it and calls it an Easter egg. I don't know what the Easter egg is there. I assume maybe it's either where
I can't remember pizza. The name.
Yeah, or I'm thinking maybe I assume it's just like the place, the only pizza chain in Doctor Who.
Oh, probably.
There might be something more specific on it that I didn't notice, but I assume that it's where Torchwood get their pizza, or like where Elton goes and gets pizza for him and Jackie, or something like.
Yeah.
There's the only two times pizza feature in Doctor Who that I can think of.
Yeah.
But she says that's an Easter egg.
And I trust her with my life.
Who am I to doubt her? But the favourite one, the one that made me smile most, is that in her room, in Ruby Sunday's room, she's got lots of cool things.
Yeah.
Including, like, plates with, like, ash and cigarettes on them and stuff. Which is cool.
Yeah.
She has a record player, and the record player is supplied by Magpies Electronics.
Stop!
In like big full writing as well. It's not even like hidden. It's like you just don't really go in Ruby's room. But yeah, it's a magpie.
Well, here's the thing. So first of all, magpie, love that. Because that's come up a few times actually within the show. Can't remember specifically when, but it's a repeated thing.
They released those like 60s photos of Millie and Shuti doing the Beatles episode. All of the rolls of film are like magpie.
That's it.
So he's coming back.
I'm excited.
This is such an odd villain to reference. I really hope the wire comes back.
No, we need Miss Thing. We need Miss Thing back. But second of all, she owns a record player. Now, if that's isn't evidence enough that she is a massive bisexual, I don't know what is. Has there been any hint towards her sexuality? No. Am I projecting? Absolutely.
Still, sometimes you just get a feeling.
You get a feeling, but then it's also because
she carries tote bags and wears Doc Martens. She has a shave in her eyebrow. She plays the keyboard.
That's a bisexual if I ever saw one. And also, the reason I am projecting is because I love her more than anything in this world.
Yeah. Best new character, I reckon.
I mean, here's the thing. We watched the episode, didn't we? I waited for you to finish on Boxing Day. And we were both like, so you're telling me that we potentially have both of our favourite Doctor to maybe to ever exist. Who knows? We'll see. And maybe our favourite ever companion. Wow.
Impressive. I can't remember what scene it is here. I know I've written it down somewhere because I realised I hadn't really talked about Ruby in my notes. And it just says, I even now, I can't find it. But basically, I just say that I wouldn't die for Ruby Sunday. I would kill for Ruby Sunday.
Yeah, I would kill for her.
To stand next to Ruby Sunday.
I just want to say, like, so before she was cast on the show, I'd never seen anything she'd done because I didn't watch, was it Corrie? Yeah. Was it Coronation Street?
Yeah, she's like big on Corrie, wasn't she? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't watch soaps.
Soaps, no.
Sorry, like, that's actually not my journey, I'm so sorry. So literally never seen a single thing she'd done. And also she just wasn't a well-known actress, like, not in a rude way, she just wasn't.
Yeah, it's like not done anything outside of Corrie. And, you know, if you watch Corrie, she's like a household name. But if you don't, it's a bit like...
Sure, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Jenna Coleman, like she was on Waterloo Road and like Dribs and Drabs, like English telly. But like, I just have to commend Millie because she fucking devoured that screen. She did an absolutely phenomenal job. Her performance was honestly, I cannot fault her performance in any way, shape or form. It was brilliant.
It's going to be terrifying as well, right? Like, I know that, again, like you say, I know that she's, you know, obviously a relatively prominent character in a soap that goes out, whatever, you know, like 3-4 times a week.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
She's not new to acting. But she is young. She's what, like 19?
She's 19, yeah.
She's 19. And she basically has to carry the episode.
Yeah.
Because you already know who 15 is, right? You've seen him and, you know, you kind of already get a sense of his character, but you don't know anything about her. And she's the lead of this episode. Terrifying, but brilliant. She's fantastic.
I actually can't stress it enough how much I adore her character already. I think it's just so impressive. And again, we can only speak on our opinion and our experience. But I think it's so impressive that... Because it takes a lot to impress me when it comes to television. Not in life. I'm actually quite... You know, I'm easy to please. But with television... I am very, very picky with the characters that I cling to. And at the end of this, when this went off, because from start to finish, I had a grin on my face. Like, literally, my jaw was hurting for how much I was smiling watching this. And just, it got to the end and I was like, I love you both so much.
I told
you,
I've made basically no notes because I'm just enjoying myself.
Yeah, like, we were both saying that, weren't we? Like, I made notes, but like, I was mainly just watching the episode going, I'm having a great time.
Yeah. Also, I remember I found my note where I said that I wouldn't die for her, but I would kill for her. It's right at the start when she's talking to Davina McCall, and she's like, "Yeah, I don't mind if I call you a foundling, do you?" And she's like, "Oh no, you know that's what I am. I was foundled." I'm like, "Right, I love you.
I love you so much." Yeah.
anyone who's that goofy, fantastic.
Do you know what I feel like that could have been? And I'm not saying this is what it should have been, but like an alternate title to this episode, which, I mean, I love the title of this episode. Like, never change it. It's perfect.
One of the best titles I've had for ages as well.
Maybe my favourite title. I'm not joking. I'm being dead serious.
No, genuinely, yeah. Because, like, no, I don't have... I don't care about titles, right? Like, you know, I know loads of people who were annoyed about the titles of the 60th anniversary. Get a life.
Yeah.
but, like, it's just nice. It's nice to say it's lyrical. It's the church on Ruby Road. And the way Duty says the church on Ruby Road as well is very...
Yeah, everything about it. Yeah. But I feel like it could have also been called The Foundlings, because they both are... And again, that's the thing we spoke about before, that we were kind of hoping this was the direction it was going in, that Ruby and 15 have this kind of common thread where it's just, you know, they were both adopted.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Sorry, I just loved this. Anyway, right, let's get to it. So, I want to say... something first and foremost, because I want to talk about 15 for a second. We've been gushing over Millie. Yeah. We will continue to do so, but Shooty.
the range he demonstrates, the opening scene.
Yeah.
So he's narrating, but he's crying outside the TARDIS, and you're like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
The next time you're seeing, he's in a pub with a big hat on, and he looks. I know the hat is a bit big. It is really massive. But he looks... he looks terrifying.
Like he does.
He's really brooding. He's got his hands in his pockets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of giving me sort of sad boy 10 vibes.
Absolutely. You know,
just off in the corner looking really sad. And then the next scene is off his face in a little yellow tank top and a kilt dancing in a nightclub. The range of him is admirable. I mean, it's admirable.
15 was on the poll.
Oh, again, I don't wish to comment or make up fake characters, fake sexuality. There are lots of people who believed that Ruby Sunday as a character was going to be sort of, you know, written as a lesbian before this episode came out, and obviously they said we don't know because, you know, it's not been brought up in the show. But I mean, you kind of gotta not be interested in men to not want to just jump on
Shusigawa.
I know that's really horrible, but I would he catches the glass of the health and safety gin and tonic division, I'd be like, I'm going home with you.
No, fully. Like, I was like, actually, I'm so glad you said this, because I was watching this and I was like, the riz coming off of that man, the sheer and utter unadulterated, unfiltered, pure riz coming off of 15. I would literally just melt and I'd go, right, so we're leaving, yeah? We're going now? Cool. I'll just grab my jacket. In fact, leave the jacket. There's no time to waste. Let's go. Like, 15 was on the damn pool. And that's not me saying he was trying to pull Ruby. Don't get it twisted. Don't take that out of context. But he was on the pool. And I said what I said. Because he absolutely was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And again, I just... there's lots of stuff in this episode that I'm like, how do people not like this? There are people who don't like... It's cool. It's fun. I like seeing him at a nightclub. He's going for it.
If you don't like this, I actually worry for you, because do you actually hate fun? Do you actually despise serotonin? Do you?
I think that they must. Because everything about him, it's just so... like, the scene outside the nightclub, and considering all of that... yeah. Stuff. If you know, you know. It was a last minute pickup.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I know someone who was on set.
Fun facts.
Yeah, which is weird because there's actually no. They would have been doing like extras stuff, but they must have cut out a lot of shots where they have like actual sort of like supporting artists in it, because there's no. Because I like that scene outside the nightclub, but it does feel sparse.
Yeah, it does feel sparse.
Obviously, I understand it's, you know, midnight, Christmas, you know, but, like, I don't feel like they've come out of a club. But that's, you know, tiny, tiny little things.
Side issue.
But I love how magic that scene is. The way he talks to everybody. The sort of flipping from, like, anger to just, I don't know. It's just good, isn't it?
It's good.
Saves a woman, then gets angry that she doesn't have a baby in a pram.
Yeah, and you know what?
Gets angry
enough.
That she might have a pram, and then, you know, yeah, just everything. The bit the police officer is like, this is the moment that I was like, okay, this man's the doctor forever.
Yeah,
brilliant.
It's just so. I have a question, actually. So
yeah,
this was brought up on the Big Blue Box podcast, who I love. I love those two guys, and I was like, oh, actually, I did think that when I was watching it. That is shot in Cardiff, isn't it? That bit. Is that where Henrik's was shot? Because it looks like the same street.
It might be. I don't know where Henrik's was shot, but it does look very similar, doesn't it?
It looks really similar. And that's not me trying to say, Rose Tyler, come back to me. I mean, not saying no to that, but also I'm not trying to get at that. I just thought it was a coincidence. Yeah.
Also, fun bonus Cardiff fact. There is not a set of traffic lights there. There you are.
Fun fact.
Production magic.
One thing I'll say, though, is I'm not going to lie. Cardiff was really Cardiffing in this episode. Like, none of that looked like London. Soz.
Yeah. Except for the bits that are filmed in Bristol. They look like Bristol.
Yeah, they're Bristol. But that's what I'm saying. None of it looked like London. Like, none of it did. It didn't convince me at all. Sorry.
I think the row of flats, like, they look sort of sufficiently London-y enough.
Not for me, sorry.
No, it's a kind of like boring, you know, like railed off, yeah, like houses that have been converted into flats. I can buy those. I think, you know, I knew that it was all shot in Bristol, so you know that it's not London.
Yeah, I wonder why they switched to Bristol for this coming series. More budget. They don't have to use Cardiff every time.
Yeah, they also might have just been the type of, like, you know, I love Cardiff dearly, but, you know, the type of houses that those are probably the best stand-ins for. Like, I personally think they look actually really good as sort of fake London flats. Mm. And, yeah, I think it's the kind of thing that you wouldn't necessarily find in Cardiff. Sorry, not sorry. But
yeah.
And that's what Millie says to us. She finds the set comfortable. She likes the sofa, and she wishes it was real because it would cost you an arm and a leg in actual London.
It actually would.
Yeah,
imagine I love that flat. I love that flat. It's
me too.
Honestly, production, the art department needs to pat themselves on the back because every little detail in there was just perfection. Like, it felt lived in. It felt quirky. It felt cozy. It was perfect. Truly, like, I don't want it to come off as, like, we're just being positive for the sake of it, but this is just how we feel. Like, there is very little that I disliked about this. Very little. Almost nothing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there was nothing. There's nothing that I go, I dislike that.
Yeah.
There are things where I could, if you really force me to, that I could be like, oh, yeah, you know, like, yeah, that scene's a little sparse or whatever, you know, but nothing that makes me annoyed or makes me dislike at all.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Except, so I say this because I do want to talk about it and we have differing opinions on this. So,
I have differing opinions from basically everybody.
So we have new Doctor, new companion, and new Sonic Screwdriver is introduced in this episode. I'm going to go over to you. I want you to tell me what you think of the new Sonic.
Yeah, as you know, I'm grumpy. I am pig-headed. I am arrogant.
You're just a dick.
And I'm a dick. I'm quite a terrible person.
Kidding, kidding.
And I have lots of strong, lots of very hate-filled opinions about this show. that I just, you know, love tormenting people over. And I got to tell you, this fucking Sonic Screwdriver, I love it. you thought I was going the other way, didn't you? Yeah, I mean, love is a strong word. I'm indifferent towards it. Like, I like it enough. I like the noise it makes, and it serves a fun purpose. But I also don't really care about designs of toys for children. I just think, for you, I think I like that they're not trying to how. Because they're all the same shape. And every Sonic Screwdriver has kind of looked the same. And in my opinion, every Sonic Screwdriver... I mean, I don't mind 11s, but it's still not my favourite. But every Sonic Screwdriver really sort of since then, and including like 11s to some degree, it's been really kind of a bit ugly and over-designed. And they're always just trying to like add more stuff. You know, this bit flicks out and this does this and, you know... What, and you're just doing that with like a piece of metal that's like that big. I like that we're getting something weird, getting something new. Lots of people go, it doesn't look like a screwdriver. Yeah. Neither does...
When did it ever look like a screwdriver is my question.
Neither does anybody else's. They just happen to be a similar sort of like length. But I get why people don't like it.
Yeah.
I also would not ever go to bat to defend it because like I said, don't really care, but I appreciate them not trying to over-design the same basic idea and have just gone with something that feels truly weird and alien and cool, and just shoot, you looks good holding it, and I want the toy, and I like it. But most importantly, I like the noise. I really like the noise.
The noise is perfect. I love it, yeah.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it so much.
I just can't imagine caring enough about a children's toy.
No, I do. I'm sorry, I do. And I'll tell you why. I don't care that it looks different and it's not a long shape. That's... couldn't care less about that because it's never looked like a screwdriver. It never, ever, ever has. Literally never has. I just hate the design. I think it's absolutely horrific. I literally saw it and I went, huh? Where? Like, I just can't get behind it at all. And that's my journey and that's my truth and that's fine. Will not be buying it. Every time it's used, I may just go, hate that. But again, I won't care enough for it to take me out of it. It didn't even take me out of this. It's just, it's an important thing of the show. I want to discuss it. But yeah, oh, hun, I just...
I'm very excited for the toy.
No, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you to get it. That's how I'll get then, my joy.
But... yeah. But then, you know, I can't... I want to hear no complaining about it, though, because, you know, everybody fucking rushed to buy the limited edition chrome version of 14's bad sonic screwdriver, so are we having no complaints? I bought it when it was like £17 from Forbidden Planet, and it was cheap.
So
I didn't buy like the 50 quid limited edition one.
So I did. I went on the Character Options website and I waited an hour in the queue to get it because I am
judged you.
No, and you know what? I judged myself. I'm a piece of shit. I really am, because I love 14 Sonic a lot.
Look, while we're on a vibe of calling each other out.
okay, yeah.
No. Look, this is, I mean this in a very, very nice way.
Yeah.
Because it's not a bad thing at all. But you know the woman from the hospital who like comes to set up the fostering with Carla?
Yeah.
She's got the bag of like the nappies and stuff like that. She just reminded me of you.
Do you want to hear something funny?
Yes.
So you know the jumper she's wearing?
Mm-hmm.
I had that jumper. I'm not joking. It's from Zara. It was a floral, bobbly knit thing. And I got it. Wore it once. Decided to give it to a friend because I didn't like it. But I did have that jumper. So fun coincidence. Another coincidence. Huh. Strange.
I can't even remember what it is she says, but there's just something that she said. I was just like, I can just hear you saying that. I don't know why.
I love her, so that's a massive compliment. Thank you.
Oh, she's great. She's fantastic.
Bring her back.
And yeah, I think maybe when she's talking about how terrible the name Lulubell is.
Oh, I love that when they're like, Lulubell, that's an awful name. That's a terrible name.
Yeah, and then she's like, yeah, it's shit, isn't it? But then I like that later on, I like that the doctor's like, they stole Lulubell, and then like hits his head against things. He's like, such a good name. I wish I was called Lulubell.
Oh, I love him.
It also really, like, you know, oh yeah, we're gonna be fucking fucked for most doctory moments, because I was going to say that's probably the most doctory thing he does, but I mean, there's about 100 things he does, but yeah. Just, I don't know, just that little way he hits his head. He's like, such a good name.
Such a good name.
I also, as well, I'm sorry, I kind of jumped ahead there, but something that I personally resonate with in this episode, it's giving representation to my people. So I wasn't born on Christmas Eve. I was due on Christmas Eve. I wasn't born on Christmas Eve.
Yeah,
my birthday's a week before Christmas. It's finally giving like Christmas babies our time.
Yep.
In the spotlight. And how fucking annoying it is.
It's such an annoying birthday to have. I'm so sorry, but you know what? I just want to back myself for a second and show how much of a good friend I am, because I always get you a Christmas and birthday present because...
Yeah. Except for this year.
Oh, wait, no, yeah, this year I didn't. But I usually do. No, hold on a fucking minute, yeah. Me coming down to Cardiff was the biggest
present of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually was as well. Yeah. I'm not even joking. It actually was.
No, it was. Yeah. Yeah, I know. How lucky am I?
You are, because that fucking train ticket was...
I know, right?
You're worth it, babe. You're worth it.
Yeah. Why do you think I'm not coming to see you? But yeah, I don't. I just had to say, it's justice finally for December babies everywhere.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. It was. It is a really annoying birthday to have. I do apologise. It is not fun. But I do love that she was born. Was it Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
Yeah, Christmas Eve, isn't it?
Christmas Eve, I think, yeah. Yeah. Something I was going to say as well is, I think another thing I loved about this episode was how Ruby and 15 were introduced to each other. That whole bit is so gloriously fun. But you know what? It had me cackling and screaming. And I'll tell you why. Because the gloves that they use, the ones that hold all their weight.
Yeah, and the density and the Mavity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It just made me think about when Rose and Ten were hanging from that helicopter in...
Yeah, from the Zeppelin in thingy Age of Steel.
Yeah, in Age of Steel, yeah. And I was like, they really could have used that. And Pete as well. Let's not forget Pete. Pete really could have used that. No, Pete needed it the most, actually.
Yeah. The moment when like the Doctor finally sort of actually shows off what they can do, and his theme swells as he like hangs off the
lander, it's so perfect.
And he's kind of weightless. It's so, I keep it's all over my notes. I just keep saying magical.
It's magical.
But it is. It's all magic all the time. I also can't tell you how much I've watched that clip that they released of him running along the roof.
I've seen it so many times.
But yeah, I'll give that a go, babes.
Oh, I'm sorry as well. I really don't mean to just keep... Actually, no, I do mean, because it's the truth. It's my favourite Doctor's theme. It's my favourite Doctor theme I've ever heard.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love it.
It's the best one.
I keep humming it.
Like, I love... Yeah, don't sue me. BBC,
but it's very, but it's very. It's not. It doesn't feel versatile. You know what I mean?
No, it doesn't feel.
They can
versatile.
Only play that when you need him to be angry and brooding. And I like this because it can score. It's basically going to be like I am the Doctor.
I don't want them to do the same thing though, because they overplayed that so much.
Yeah, but there's so many good. They play it a lot in this episode, but I think there's so many different points of it that work so well
exactly,
that you can kind of you can use reprises and different things like. Well, like there's the theme, but I kind of want to hear the suite because it sounds like a whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Same with like Ruby's theme, right? Like you have like Ruby's Waltz, which was played at the musical celebration, which is a whole piece. But in this, you kind of just get like. Little dribs and drabs here and there rather than hearing the full thing. And that's why I kind of like it about 15s, right? They kind of different points of it come in at different places where it's needed.
Yeah.
But it's always fucking good.
It's always good.
Fucking good.
And also, I can just imagine it being played even when he's being really serious and like he's like going off to do something and he's a little bit angry. Like it does work for a lot of scenarios. Do you know what I mean? But you know, I need to hear the suite. Release the damn album. We need the damn album. Please.
But again,
please.
Like how does she not... Again, how she doesn't fall in love. Just that bit on the ladder. So just the way he says everything, it's just so... Because I'm not even going to say it. There's no point. But just the way he says everything.
Yeah.
You know, about the... Yeah. It's just the way he says, nice to meet you, Ruby Sunday.
Like, it's like let's just jump off this ladder now. Fuck the baby. Don't care about the baby. Let's go. But I will say that's actually a really lovely segue because I wanted to talk about Shooty and Millie as performers. I think their chemistry. We haven't seen chemistry. I'm about to throw something big out. Whoa! Hold on. Whoa! I haven't seen such good chemistry since David and Catherine.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. They just
like, wow.
Click. Yeah.
You can tell that are such good friends off camera as well.
Yeah. And for it to be so on display in a first episode.
It's baffling.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Feels,
it really, this whole thing.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It feels like a miracle.
It's actually a miracle. It was made for us. It was made for us.
Perfect. Everything. Again, Shooty feels like he's grown in a lab to play Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And Millie feels like she was grown in a lab to play his companion.
It's insane. And something else that I really love is, you know, we jest, we say, how can anyone not fall in love with him? Because it's true, because wow, my God, look at him. But also, I do love that their energy is just best friends who take the piss out of each other a little bit. It's my favorite. It's Donna and Ten, but gayer. Gayer. And
yeah. I mean, Slayer.
Slayer.
More bitchy.
It's just, yeah, very of now, but not in an annoying way, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Some people may disagree with that, and they probably do, because they're what? Boring.
Boring.
I need to hear Ruby. I need to hear Ruby say to 15 at one point. I watch him do something and just go, slay. I need that. I need it. I need it in my life.
For me, not that we ever have a segment called Most Underrated Moment, but I'm introducing it now. Most Underrated Moment.
Yeah.
but the moment that makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Most.
You, right there.
And I guess, you know, again, you might be like, oh, you could put this as a doctory moment. And, you know, bitch, everything could be a doctory moment. Anyway, when the ladder scene is so fun, and I'm having fun, and I'm smiling, and I'm really enjoying it. When they get hoisted up into the goblin ship, just the little look toward the goblins waiting. I love the way you shoot. Just goes, hiya.
Yeah.
Just the delivery, the little smile on his face, it's so good. Hey, honestly, it sends me into tears every time, and I'm the only person I found who also enjoys that as much as me. I'm the only one.
Like, he just exudes cheekiness, and that whole bit in the goblin ship. So yes, goblins, the goblins, Janice Goblin, icon, living legend, the goblin song. We don't need to go into it too much, but yeah, it did chart, didn't it? It went number one, didn't it?
It was a good song. I have a friend, and she doesn't listen to this, so I can say it, whose complaint about the goblin song was that there was too much reference to eating babies. And I just...
Fuck's sake.
what are we doing here? I'm having a great time.
Honestly, the first time I say, what are you doing, Russell, in a positive way, what are you doing, Russell?
Who thinks of this?
Only RTD could bless us in this way. I think the goblins look wonderful.
Yeah, I love that Disney money is just being spent on making good puppets of little guys.
Of little boys, little girls, little boys and girls.
Yeah. And I mean, we will get to the character, I'm sure, but like the fucking puppet work of the Goblin King is insane.
It's fucking amazing. I mean, I've seen some things online about people saying it doesn't look that good, and I'm just kind of like, okay, since when did you get a degree?
I think it's got a similar thing to Beep the Meep, right, where the puppet and the practical is really good, and I'm like, oh well. And then I think because the practical is so good, whenever it's touched up with VFX, not that the actual VFX look bad, but when it's up with CGI, you almost notice it more because of how good just the prac puppet is.
Absolutely.
But the Goblin King does not look bad. Again, considering it's Doctor Who, they don't have the money normally to do that kind of thing. The set for the Goblin ship is ridiculous.
Yeah.
The amount of puppets that would have taken, and to get all of the other goblins, and then the amount of people that would take to puppeteer the Goblin King. I feel like people don't have an appreciation for how fucking difficult puppetry
is. It's really hard, yeah.
How expensive and how time-consuming it is.
Absolutely.
You think about Jabba the Hutt and Return of the Jedi, and that's five people to puppet him. One person's entire job just to puppet his fucking tail.
I just think as well. Yeah, it's all of that. And then it's also I just think, it's a really simple premise, which some people may say is a bit but also it's sometimes simple is better. It's goblins who like to sing, eat babies, and their goblin king who rules over them, who really loves to eat, and they just have a gay old time in the sky in a flying ship. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. And something that I was not expecting, because obviously, like I said, we said, the song went viral. It also charted. It nearly became a Christmas number one, but not quite. And that would have been fun. And it is a really fun song. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to speak my truth. I've listened to it a ton. A lot of people just like love it and listen to it a lot. I haven't.
No, I haven't listened to it except within the confines of the episode.
Same. And that's not because I dislike it. It's just.
Is it not my kind of, this is not the kind of thing that I would stream.
Yeah, exactly. But something that I wasn't expecting was Shooty and Millie getting a little sing-song moment. And so many people didn't like this. Like, I saw a lot of people not like this.
To those people, and you may be listening, and I will not apologise for what I'm about to say. if you don't like this, if you felt it was cringy or not Doctor Who, or you just thought that it was not fun or interesting, you don't ever deserve to watch the show.
Ever again.
Ever in your life.
I feel like, see, to me, this doesn't feel, like when people are saying it's out of character, it feels really weird for Doctor Who, couldn't disagree more. I could see 11 do this, I could see 12, even 12 doing this. Hello, he played a guitar for like, what, half a season? 10, abso-fucking-lutely, yes. 9 would maybe shrug, but Rose would be like, come on, let's do it.
I was going to say, I could see 9 giving it a go. Yeah.
It's so in character, sorry.
Even if it isn't, just it's for fun. But what is more interesting to people? Is it that they crash the feast and the Doctor stands up and for the 100th time does an epic speech
exactly.
that we have to cut out of context and go like, this is the most powerful speech ever in Doctor Who, even when it's not, and it's not very interesting, and it's full of acting.
Yeah.
You know,
my boy,
at you.
My son, I've lost my boy. Like, you know, those acting reels you get on TikTok, fucking hell.
It's like when people clip them out of context, it's like, yeah, but it's the context that makes it powerful. Daniel Day-Lewis's performance in There'll Be Blood is amazing. That scene in There'll Be Blood is amazing, but you have to have watched the other hour and a half leading up to that point in There'll Be Blood to get the context of that scene. Ugh, it annoys me. That's a side issue. But what would be better? Another epic monologue or a musical number? I know what I prefer.
I know what I prefer.
And it was the musical number.
And also, do bear in mind, though, that we are gay. So we love that shit.
I'm very bored of the character being a all-powerful, omniscient god that lectures people through monologues. It's boring.
We've had it enough now. Like, we've actually seen it enough times.
It's so played out. And, you know, he's improvising.
It's great.
Stands up. I love the way he's under his breath. He's trying to remember what you do in front of royalty. He's like, and curtsy.
I actually really loved. So I have a question for you. We do this sometimes when there's a little fun moment in an episode, and I want to bring it back for a sec. What was your favourite line of them singing? Because my favourite is it. How does she say? She goes, "Good to meet you. Good to greet you." It just scratches my brain in a way that I love.
I thought you were going to do the whole, yeah, what is it? Yeah, good to meet you, great to greet you, great to say how diddly deet you.
Yeah, all of that.
Just because I like Millie's confused.
She's like,
well, she's kind of like, she's like, how do I make this rhyme?
Yeah, it's so good.
I don't know. I just really like the moment when he starts, because I like the big swinging arm and the like, oh, they're actually going for.
They're going for it.
For him, yeah. Or. I don't know. I just quite like the rhyme of, we've had a fun day. Now meet my friend. She's Ruby Sunday. I just really like that.
That's fun.
Fun. Yeah.
I do like the little. I do like the note at the end with we're having fun, and he just kind of, I'm not going to do it because I can't sing. But when he like really like elongates the note, and he's like, hold on tight, and then they just like fall out of the ship.
But I like that they can both sing. It's very, like, it's very, of course, shoot you get, I can sing. Yeah.
What can't he do?
Like, what can't, like, you know, come on.
Come on, Shooty. Leave some for the rest of us. It's not fair now.
I suppose he also not, though. He was like a major part of them, but I also suppose he had some musical numbers in Barbie, so.
You know, he sang a bit, some bits of I'm Just Ken, like,
yeah,
and like, I'm enough, and I'm great at doing stuff, like that bit. You know, I love all of that, but I just think where the episode really gets me and I really love is when they come back to the flat and all of the stuff that ensues after that with chance, coincidence.
I mean, but you've also got over the best scene for me personally, which is all the stuff, chance, coincidence is good. It's not as good as him flirting with Cherry Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just that little moment is perfect.
It's great.
Perfect.
It's great.
Yeah.
And you just know they're going to be besties. Like, every time they see each other, just like, it's going to be kind of like Jackie and Ten towards the end of series two.
Mm.
Oh, come here, I love you. Like that kind of thing.
I just love the way that she's like, yeah, she's like, can't get a cup of tea for love nor money. I'm going to turn abstinent. And then like turns around and he's just like that in the in the doorway. And she's like, oh my God.
Oh my God, like, who is this?
Like, yeah.
Again, same.
Yeah. But yeah, they're like, they have quite a lot of sexual tension there. It's quite palpable.
I just love their whole dynamic. Like I said, you know, this whole dynamic has massive, it's a contender for maybe my favourite Doctor Who family ever, which I know is insane. It's one episode, but wow, it really did get me.
And like, I know I referenced it earlier, but yeah, just the way that he's like, yeah, he's like, oh, Cherry Sunday, and then she kind of goes, like a sweet treat. And he's like,
oh yeah.
Oh, it's so weirdly sexy. I don't like it, but I love it.
I tell you what, though, something that I really loved, and I've, you know, I kind of picked up on it the first time I watched it, but rewatching it for this, lovely parallel that I picked up on. So they're highlighting the photos on the fridge, which again, I love the fact that they are cast and crew. I didn't know that. That's fun. And anyway, they're looking at the photos and there's that lovely close-up of their reactions to the photos, which I love. They both look great, by the way. Gorgeous humans. Of course they look great. And they're looking at the photos and then he goes to Ruby, you've got the biggest family in the world. And it just reminded me of the parallel in Journey's End when Sarah Jane says to Ten, you have got the biggest family on Earth. And it really touched my soul. But then obviously you get the thing of like, when she's like, oh, what about you? And he's like, oh yeah, I've got no one. And just kind of smiles in pain. And it really feels like that because, again, in Journey's End, in that bit, he's kind of saying that. And then Sarah Jane goes, no, you've got the biggest family on Earth. Look at all these people that love you. Like, they're your family. Oh, love it.
Which, like, in retrospect, is also, like, amazing because of, obviously, the revelations that happen.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And the Doctor also has a habit of ruining people's houses, we've noticed, in the last few series. Rip to Dan's house, rip to Carla's flat.
Yeah, I mean, rip to Donna's house, you assume?
Yes, rip to Donna's house. Like,
yeah.
Ridiculous.
Got the money to buy his own, but did he fix Donna's?
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, when the Doctor said, you know, maybe I'm the bad luck, which was quite a nice line, I felt like. But Loki, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Loki, yeah.
Do you know, like, you know what? What really sells me on this scene, so, like, you know, Ruby gets taken.
Yes.
The goblins go back in time. They're not time travellers, though, because time travellers are, like, the best.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love all that, yeah.
Yeah. Reminds me of, you know, yeah, it's like I've got a sports car and he's got a space hopper.
Yeah, exactly.
Boys and their toys. but I just love how real, and I don't mean this in terms of like a, you know, I mean it in the sort of, you know, like, that's so real.
Yeah.
It's like, so how real it is for me personally as an individual that the world is a darker, sadder, colder, emptier place without Ruby Sunday.
Yeah.
As soon as she's gone, all the joy is gone. I'm like, yeah, I feel that.
I feel that. I feel that 100%.
That's so real.
It's so real. And that whole interaction, I mean, like, when she disappeared, it was very obvious for me because she wasn't in the room. And oh, they're doing this, I see, which I liked. And, you know, Carla and 15 are having a conversation. And I was emotional.
It's so upsetting.
£800 per kid. Don't say that. Don't say that.
And I love for me, like, honestly, one of the best, like, written lines that we've had for a long time. Yeah, because all the dialogue's, like, stellar, but just, I don't know, just the sort of the gut punch of the, you know, like, of Carla sat there at the kitchen table crying. She's like, why would I want a daughter? I'm happy as I am. And then the doctor in floods of tears is like, then why are you crying?
And then she's like, why are you?
Ah! Yeah.
Ah! Oh, man.
It's so sad. Why hurt my boy like this within the first, like, his first episode? He's already in tears.
Why hurt my girl like this? Like, she, you know, Carl just holding Lulu Bell, just being like, oh, this is so annoying. It's brat, Christmas. Yeah. This little brat kind of thing. And it's like, people, what I love about that is just, it's just, you know, I know it's cheesy, but I don't care. And that's why I love it. I love cheese. Give me all the cheese. The stinkier, the better. I love it. People affect your life, whether that be good or bad, obviously better for the good. And when there is a good person in your life and they affect it in that way, it just goes to show how what course your life can take.
Yeah. Because even like Cherry is not like, she's not nasty. She's just sad. She's just asleep.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. It's like, we were never blessed to have a child. And then you like compare that to, where it's like a scene before where she's like, we're shooting and you get the, but where she calls them like, we three queens up here in the sky.
Yeah. Oh.
Which, by the way, would watch a spin-off.
That's what I'm saying.
Three Queens of the Sky spin-off going on.
That's what I'm saying to you. Like, I would truthfully watch a spin-off of these three just getting on with life.
Yeah, just like a little sitcom, family sitcom.
I would love it so much. Like, forget Pond Life.
Each episode
life.
They get a new foster kid.
Forget flipping the Pond Life and they try to do that. No one cares. This is what I want. This is what we need. And I just think... I love that message. It's just like she, you know, just this one child coming into Carla's life and Cherry's life brought so much good and then also spread to all those other people that they fostered. It's just a spread of love and it just kind of highlights what's important.
Really sends home that importance of that message of, you know, of It's nice because I like it because obviously it's very literally it's about adoption and fostering.
Yeah.
Which is nice, something you don't see much of on telly.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
And of course, you know, sure that anybody who I don't want to speak for people, but I'm sure anybody who's watching it who was maybe sort of fostered or you know, adopted at some point in their life, but it's very nice and very cathartic and probably felt seen by it. But also just the sort of the broader theme of that kind of found family, which is a very important thing in queer spaces.
Absolutely.
Russell's entire last series, It's a Sin, was about having a found family.
Yeah.
And it's just lovely. Yeah, I don't know. It's just nice. It's just nice.
It's lovely. But then another parallel that I loved coming from that is it's kind of like when, obviously, the Doctor does bring about destruction and death and not great things, but there is also, you know, there isn't always positives with this kind of thing. And he has brought so much good and so much life into other people. You know, he's spread joy, he's spread adventure, and like, you know, it's kind of like, not that he tops people, but you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, it's like, yeah, like, and I think this is like it's like a micro version of Turn Left.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Where the Doctor dies and everything just gets shit. It's like that, right? It's like Ruby doesn't exist and the world is just sadder.
Exactly. Like, I just think there's so much good that the Doctor's brought around as well. And that's why I think Carla and 15 were having a little moment there, because the Doctor saw himself in Ruby, but also in Carla. And I just love those like threads coming together.
But, you know, from there, we kind of run towards the finale.
Yes.
Which is such a fun, I think it's such a fun ending confrontation.
Yep.
One of the goblins that goes back to kidnap Ruby is wearing a Santa hat. And something that I'm interested to hear your opinion on, because I actually didn't see many people discussing it, and I was quite surprise, because I thought this was going to be like the thing that people argued about.
Yeah.
So I personally really like...
For you?
For me. That they just murder the shit out of the Goblin King.
It's so funny.
Like, the Doctor unambiguously stabs the Goblin King.
Fully. But I get blasted with a massive laser. You get to be punctured by is it a spire? I don't know what it's called, of a church.
A church spire. And I feel like that feels like maybe, I hope that's indicative of what this character is gonna be.
Mm, mm.
Like, it's full of life and optimism, but also we'll just, you know, will kill people. Because it kind of reminds me of like early 10, you know, when you get like with the Sycorax, you know, when he's all like, you know, oh yeah, pretty effects, mate, you boy. Oh yeah, and then throws him off the edge of the ship and, you know, he's like, no second chances.
I'm that sort of a man. Yeah.
That sort of a man. I think compare and contrast to like the toy maker, and he's doing all of the, you know, come with me, come on. Come on. I'll keep you in my TARDIS. We've been like best friends. I like that this version of the Doctor's just like, yeah, I'll just stab him. Get him stabbed.
Yeah. I want a Doctor with less patience.
Yeah, like, I don't... A Doctor with less patience wouldn't be very good at his job. Funny thing to say. but yeah, like, I don't care about, like, things like that in media. I know people do get really, you know, Batman can't kill people and the Doctor stab goblins. I think it's fun and cool. And I couldn't believe that they did it either. I was like, as it's happening, I was like, oh, fucking shit, they just stabbed him.
They just stabbed him, and he's just like going, like, as he's being stabbed. It's very funny.
Yeah. And then the ship disappears.
And then Ruby comes back because 15 saves her, and it's also lovely. And then we see...
the way he hugs her is amazing.
Oh, it's so sweet.
She's like, she looks confused as he's running towards her. She's kind of like, why are you going to hug me? He just like picks her up. He's just like, oh my God.
Yeah, because they already are best friends. They are the bestest of friends.
Yeah.
But just before that, and I don't want to dwell on it too much, because as of right now of recording, we don't know who Ruby's mother is or who the person is that dropped Ruby off to the church. Because it might not be Ruby's mum that dropped her off. It might be someone else. Don't know. And we don't want to dwell on it too much, because we don't have hindsight and we don't know things in this current time.
Yeah.
But
I also, it feels weird though, because I feel like one of those things, they might tell us.
Yeah.
Because she's there, she's featured in the episode quite a lot. But I also feel that the moment where it kind of tells you that you probably won't, in my opinion, I think maybe we won't, because the 15 makes a very conscious choice. He's like standing there and he's like, I could go and I could find out right now, or it could not matter. And what matters is Carla and Cherry.
Absolutely.
And her life that she's living at the moment. And he chooses not to. And I have a feeling that maybe that'll inform the fact that we won't find out in the series. Happy to be proven wrong.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that we won't find out. The only way I would like it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it now and you're going to go, oh, yeah, you're right.
Okay.
No, trust.
I'm trusting.
Is if about midway through the series, if it's one of those things that she kind of mentions.
Yes.
Like, you know, if she's kind of thinking, you know, oh, we could go find who my mum is, you know, whatever. And then midway through the series, we get basically Father's Day.
Mm.
And they go and they find out, and maybe she doesn't even talk to her. She just sort of sees her face, you know, because there's probably something else going on in the episode.
Yeah.
Sees her face, and they make a conscious decision not to go and say anything.
Yeah.
But the whole thing breaks us so much emotionally, you essentially get the end of Father's Day where they go back to, like, the Sunday residence because they better visit that place.
Yeah.
And just has a sort of Momo without the Doctor where kind of her and Cherry and Carla are hugging and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, what's this for? It's just a bit like, oh, I just want to see you.
Yeah.
That's if they do that. Yeah. Hire me, even though the series has already been shot and written.
And it's all finished. But if you need revisions, Elliot is available.
If you want an episode to do that, I'll do it.
But yeah, so then we get to, you know, Ruby going in the TARDIS and whoosh, we're away. Bum, 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 bum. And we then have Mrs. Flood, who is one of the Sunday's neighbour. She's a lovely lady who sits in her little chair and just watches the world go by. And I've met people like this, and they're my favourite people because they just love life. They're just like, I'm just watching people watching. And she looks to the camera and says, never seen a TARDIS before. Wink. Slay. Slay queen.
Well, obviously she's the master.
Oh my God, the Rani. Oh my gosh, she's a Time Lord.
Honestly, watching it this time, I was like, well, she does see it take off earlier in the episode, so.
Yeah. I thought, do you know what I thought this was? And maybe I'm being naive. And again, we won't dwell on it too much because we don't know and we don't want to date it too much. But I just thought it was a fun thing they did at the end to be like, never seen the TARDIS before? Because, you know, they're renewing the series and it's on Disney Plus as well. We know all the new changes that have come about. And I just feel like that's what it was. It was just going through all this. Oh, you've seen the TARDIS before?
It's just a fun little joke. They might, something might happen with it, but when I watched it, I was like, I'm pretty sure it's just a fun little gag.
That's what I thought. But then obviously there's all this mystery around her as a character, and like Russell's made it obvious, like, who is Mrs. Flood? Why is she called Mrs. Flood? And it's like, okay, you're going to do something with this, but...
Barley also, before the series was broadcast, kept basically telling everybody that Donna was going to die.
Yeah, this is true.
He knows that people read everything he says.
He likes duping us and taking the piss, and it's so fun.
I know we kind of got towards the end there. I do want to dwell on something.
Yeah, go on, dwell away.
No, because I told you about it at the time. I just think it's worth mentioning.
Yeah.
For me, anyway.
Yeah.
I think this is my favourite companion onboarding the TARDIS scene ever, and it's because Ruby Sunday has all of the agency in the scene.
Absolutely.
The Doctor tries to run away. She figures out he's a Time Lord.
Yep.
She puts it all together, and she makes the decision to go travelling with him. And there doesn't need to be a reason. She doesn't need to be dissatisfied in her life. She doesn't need to be miserable. She just wants to. And she makes that choice, and she goes outside, and she finds the TARDIS. There's no... It's not an inherently misogynistic trope, but I'm glad that there was no taking her hand and whisking her away. She's the curious one.
Her choice.
Better. Yeah, just better. I don't know. I just like it. It made me, like, it took me from liking her as the companion to being like, she's the one.
It's absolutely agree with everything you've just said. It's probably my favourite... It is my favourite companion and the moment of a companion entering the TARDIS. It's so good. And it's the way it's shot as well. I mean, this was like a late pickup, wasn't it? Because, again, all you lot can't not share things online and spoil everyone. Yeah. It's really annoying. And stop it. It's really, really irritating. But it was a later pickup. And I'm glad that they picked it up. I'm glad that that was done. Because it really just made the episode for me. It really had a nice finish. Yeah. A nice finish. Almost like a glass of wine at the end of a meal, even though I don't drink wine. But
it still feels magical though, because you know, she's like, oh yeah, Mrs. Flood, you see a guy in like a leather jacket, and she's just going,
yeah,
the TARDIS, and when she turns around, just the way the door pops open, just
yeah, and a little bit of slow mo. I love slow mo. Yeah, I'm a fucking whore for slow mo. My God,
it's like she needs that nudge, just that little nudge, just to be like, go on.
Yeah,
go on, yeah.
And then you know, she walks in, she's like, who are you? And then he's like, I'm the Doctor. Every time he says it, I go, yeah, you are, baby. Yeah. Fucking...
Like, I know that that's like not the first time he said it, because like earlier in the bit you get the, you know, oh yeah, I'm the Doctor, occupation, not a doctor. But just the, I don't know, just the way he's standing there with like his arm draped over the railing, and he just kind of almost like mugs the camera. He goes, I'm the Doctor. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Fucking yeah.
Okay, so we are now at the wrap-up, where we talk about our stand-up moment. What didn't work? Our most doctory moment. Favourite quote? And then we rate it at the end. So, Elliot, hun, sweetie, babes, stand-up moment from The Church on Ruby Road.
There is lots that stand out. I think for me, from a place of just sheer... fucking having so much fun and enjoying it. It's the ladder going into sort of the first encounter with the goblins.
It's very fun.
Like, not that I'm not having fun before that, but yeah, everything from Ruby climbing up onto the roof to basically jumping back off the ship is like peak Doctor Who.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What about you?
I have two. The first one is the one we just mentioned, which is Ruby's intro to the TARDIS. I love it so much, and it's my favourite. And then my second thing is the Doctor crying when talking to Carla about £800 per kid. Why are you crying? Why are you crying? Da, 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 da. Love the performance from Shuti and Michelle. It's so good. It's just a lovely moment. Okay, Elliot, so what didn't work for you in this episode?
Well, you know, I liked it. Nothing is beyond reproach, and nothing is without criticism. And
yeah.
You know, I've sort of not really mentioned it in the episode, but I do think it's really important. I'm fucking with you. There's nothing. I fucking love this episode, baby.
There's nothing.
Like, no. Like, again, even earlier when I was like, yeah, that scene's a little sparse. That's not enough to be like, well, that didn't work. There is nothing fundamentally about the story or the acting or the characters or the plot or anything that doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Because it's brilliant.
Yeah. I was going to say nothing, but the only... It's a little thing. It's just a little thing for me.
Is it Sonic?
It's... Oh, I didn't... Oh.
I just... No, okay. I kind of just expected
I have two things. I have two
with.
Things. I have two things now. No, I didn't write that down, but no, I don't like the Sonic. And that's just me being picky. But I really don't like it. And then the other thing I was going to say, my original point, was some of the dialogue, and I mean, I'm talking a handful, is a little bit over the top for me. Like, some of it is just a little bit too, like, that's not something someone would say. That's a very unnatural way of saying it, but that's fine. Tiny little bit of dialogue here and there that I didn't like, but I'm being nitpicky. Like, literally, I would say this is one of the best written episodes we've had in a long time.
Yeah. If I had to be picky, it's who puts their seatbelts on in a taxi. It's on TV, so we've got to do it, but
we
got
to do it.
Nobody does, do they?
Also, actually... Sorry, I'm interrupting the segment for a second. We didn't talk about Davina at all.
No, we didn't talk about Davina McCall.
I mean, there's not much to say. I mean, she's very fun. Bring her back. I thought she was really great in this. I really liked the addition Davina.
The moment where we slowly zoom out and she's like in a wheelchair and her arm's in a sling and she's wearing a neck brace is comedy gold.
Yeah, and then at the end, just like, you know, Merry Christmas, Davina McCall. Like, of course.
I think it's like one of the, like, best fourth wall breaks that the series has ever done is just like when the doctors explain the whole goblins deal and then Ruby goes, why did they pick on Davina McCall? He goes, oh, that was just fun. It's like I could feel someone sort of, you know, I feel someone say to Russell T Davies, be like, hey, how comes if it's all about Ruby and coincidence, how comes they picked on Davina McCall?
Yeah.
And Russell just going, it's just funny, isn't it? It's just funny.
It's just like, funny. But yeah. Her best involvement in the show will always be the Davina droid. Is it the Davina droid?
It is the Davina droid, isn't it? Yeah.
That's the best one, sorry.
What is it? You got 30 seconds to say your goodbyes, then we're going to get you.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Most doctory moment of this episode, and golly gosh, almighty, wow.
Just
the whole
everything.
Episode, done. Anyway, I'm joking.
I think deep down, truly, it's telling the police officer that his partner's going to say yes. He's got so much charisma, so much magic in that scene. Yeah, like, oh, how do you know I was getting engaged to a woman? It's just like, yeah, it's like, that's a 2-carat diamond in your pocket, and, you know, most men wouldn't pick diamonds. And, yeah, it's like, how do you know she's going to say yes? Like, because the sales start on Tuesday, and you just couldn't wait, and that is why she loves you. Like, oh. Like,
so cute. So,
it's very, very sweet. It's very, very sweet. Yeah.
Mine was a little bit before that. It was literally just a few moments before that line. And it was when he was asking who he is. And he's like, my name, the doctor, profession, not a doctor. And it's like, any chance to be over the top about who you are and flexing who you are or who you're not, you're going to take it because you're the doctor. Yeah. That's what you do. It's great.
It's like, name the doctor, occupation, not a doctor, residence, that blue box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And then... And he says, yeah, one of my favourite lines as well. Not, again, I've not actually got it written down, so I'm not going to include it in my lines, but he's just now if you don't mind, I've been snowmanned and I need to go relax.
That big snowman, so good. So favourite quote then? Quote, what do you got?
I think I have said a lot of them, to be fair.
Yeah.
Because they are just... so I think also the one that I have said already... is probably that I just like the Riz coming off the health and safety gin and tonic division. but my personal favourite, in terms of the one that makes me laugh each time I hear it, is a comedy one. It's Ruby, she's trying to kick the door open on the goblin ship, and she's like, she's like, come give me a hand. And he goes, I am learning the vocabulary of rope. Love the anger, the frustration.
His 10 were showing there.
But it's great. Of course, he's learning the vocabulary of rope. And maybe the long hot sun with Harry Houdini. Anyway.
Yes.
which also is a moment I like later on as well, when she's like, and when was Harry Houdini? She's like, what?
So what are you talking Houdini? About?
He was like, what, 1910s, 20s, ages ago.
It's good. No, it's good.
Yes. Anyway, sorry, favourite quote. Or quote.
I have two. I haven't had one in so long, I feel like.
No, we haven't.
It's too good, people. So my first is, who sees a ladder and just pops on? A ladder in the sky, and you thought, yeah, I'll give that a go, babes. They've got the baby!
I do that. You've got the baby.
I just love the way Millie says, she's like, they've got the baby. Enough.
It's like, my doctor says babes.
Babes, hun.
Yeah, I'll give that a go, babes.
Oh, it's so good. And then my other one is, I've got photos. Have a look on the fridge. They're all there. I had some of them for days, some of them for weeks, some of them for years, but only one of them stayed. And you made my life. You absolutely made my life. And you wonder about your parents, but I wonder who I'd be without you. Are you mad? Are you insane? The answer is yes. Do you hate me? The answer is yes. Am I crying? The answer is also absolutely yes.
There's so many gorgeous little lines like that.
Carla loves Ruby to the ends of the earth and back. It's so gorgeous.
So towards the end of the episode when she's like, you know, I'm glad they didn't find out who your mum was, because, you know, like, if I saw her, I would just... And then she doesn't really know what to say, and she just goes, you were so small.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah. And the thing is, anything to do with that mother-daughter relationships always sends me, and I just love it. And it's just a beautiful little moment. And also, I just feel like there's not enough positive representation of, like, you know, parent and child relationships.
Oh, yeah, I mean, like, I can't think of the last time there was, like, a mainstream TV show with, like, sort of adoption and fostering just as a sort of, as a regular thing that families do, you know?
But that leaves me with the very big, big question at the end of every episode that we do, which is, Elliot, my dear, out of five, what are you giving The Church on Ruby Road?
Well, look, I'm disappointed that we've had to ditch tenunciation.
I know, same.
Maybe we'll come up with sexiest doctor moment.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's a good one.
I think you could fill that role very nicely. For me, look, it's going to sound completely at odds of everything I've said so far.
Yeah.
But for me, it is a four. Mm. You know, I don't do halves of unless it's 2.5 because that's half marks.
Yeah.
Because I really like it. I'm really having a good time.
Yeah.
But as I said multiple times, there's some secret sauce, secret recipe that pushes things over into being a five. In my soul, it's not a five, but it's also basically perfect. You know,
just absolutely.
It's not top tier, but it's also essentially flawless, and I'm having great fun.
Snap. Because that's exactly how I feel. Yes, you know what? We're using that from now on. It has to have the secret sauce. Because there's something about a five where you feel it in your chest, you feel it in your heart, you feel it in your head, everything. And sometimes it's just not even explainable. It's just how you feel and how you react to it. And it's a really, really strong episode and really fun and just love it. We love it. And I don't think this is the last time we'll be talking about this episode. Who knows? We'll see. But... yeah, it's not quite a five. It's not a 4.5 even for me. It is a four, which is really good. I've said this before. 3 and above, it means it's good. But yes, Church on Ruby Road, excited to see where the show is moving, how it is moving forward. So excited to review series 14. If anyone's curious how that's going to kind of go down, we're also going to go back to series 4 now. So next episode will be The Unicorn and the Wasp. Finally! Oh my God.
Yeah, I reckon timing wise, I reckon when we're done with series 4, sort of like up to Journey's End, I reckon it should hopefully be sort of within, like, it might run over into the course of series 14 airing, and then hopefully, you know, we'll be able to then do series 14 right after series 4, hopefully.
Yes.
Timing wise, hopefully that all stacks up.
We're not going to do the same thing we did for the 60th, which is where, like, we waited for all the episodes to come out to then review it. We are just going to start reviewing series 14.
Because, I mean, otherwise it's going to be, what is it, like, meant to be an 8-episode run, isn't it? I think so. You're going to have to wait like 8 weeks for us to start talking about it.
And also, we can't wait that long. We're too excited. That's genuinely the reason.
Whereas, like, this year, it was just, you know, we're going to wait, and also you got Christmas and things, so it was quite handy because we were having time off anyway, whereas, like, we won't be having time off in May. So.
Exactly. So back to Series 4 next week. Happy days. Happy, happy days.
Your 2024 is going to be Series 14, the rest of Series 4, the specials, and probably lots of RTD retrospective content.
Oh, man. And you guys are in for a fucking treat. Jesus.
Yeah. And that might fill us up to the end of 2024, especially if we're having to keep with the bi-weekly schedule. So maybe no Series 5 until 2025.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But hopefully we can eventually stop doing the bi-weekly schedule, get back to weekly programming, because that's what we want to do. But, you know, time, money, all of the things. Boring life shit. Anyway, what a fun time, man. I'm just excited for Series 14. I just know it's gonna be a gay old time.
Well, look, that brings the curtains down on another wonderful episode of Come Along Pond, a Doctor Who Discussion podcast. I hope you had fun. We sure did. Now, this hasn't yet gone live as of time of recording, but I'm gonna do it now, because if not, I won't remember. Basically, we're making some quick tier changes to the Patreon, for all of you in the know. And our most expensive tier is now going to be 10 English pounds, or your equivalent currency, which is where you can see our faces.
We've lowered it for you guys. We just want it to be a little bit more accessible for everyone. Yeah,
we have lowered it for everybody. And that means that anybody now who chips any money in are going to be able to hear me say thank you. So I want to say thank you to River, to Jason, to Rebecca Judson-Smith, David Cummings, Jack Parker, Ben Somersault, Miria, Sarah, Lucy, Calvin, Felicity, Anna, Jess, Bumping Ernie, Sean, Lucy, Joe, Stephanie, Bex, Michelle. Please all get in contact if there are certain different things you'd like us to say about your names, or you don't want your last name involved, anything like that, do let us know. But we appreciate all of you over there. And anybody who joins now, I will say your name in my voice. But that's patreon.com/comealongpondpodcast. You two can get a shout out on the show. You can listen to ad-free episodes. You can also see the visuals accompanying this, say, all for the most £10 a month. So you'd be a fucking fool not to. Alternatively, though, if you don't want to part with your lovely hard-earned cash, you know, cozy lives, all that sort of stuff, send us an email, comealongpondpod@gmail.com. If you want to be cool like Jack, like Casty, and like Bianca, you can send us your thoughts and your ramblings over there. We will read them, and eventually we'll reread them out as well. Maybe, if you're lucky. Depends if I like your name. Have a cool name. Be called, like, Flint. Then I'll read your name out. Anyway, we appreciate everybody who does that, especially you, Cassidy. Love your name.
Such a good name.
Alternatively, you can also support us financially on Ko-fi. Not that anybody does, but that's ko-fi/comealongpondpodcast. If you only want to give us a small amount of money, I think it's about the price of a cup of coffee. Mind you, what's the price of a cup of coffee these days? Also, I don't drink coffee, but still. Anyway, you can do that over there. Alternatively, if you want to see our highlights and our lowlights and fun little momos, you can go over to tiktok.com/comealongpondpodcast. Yes, we may have been affected by the Great Purge, but we still like seeing so many people over there. And it, you know, just helps us out. So give us a follow, like all of our videos, share them with your friends, and they will share them with their friends, and they will share them with their friends, until eventually we're a giant media conglomerate that you can't get rid of. But your one-stop shop, if you think, oh, downloads that we might switch from bi-weekly back to going weekly, how am I going to find out about this? Well, instagram.com/comealongpondpodcast, that is your one-stop shop. Over there we have announcements, we have reels, which are basically like TikToks but smaller and in your phone, although TikTok is, I guess. Oh well. Anyway, you can send us a message, you can interact with us, and you like our posts, you will find out when an episode goes out, you'll find out any important updates. Come Along Pond Pod on Instagram. You can't miss it. We've got the same artwork, everything. And please, Bianca, send us a message of you saying it's giving.
Yeah, please.
Anyway, I think that's everything we have to plug. If we miss...
I have one thing, actually. Something that is really important is, if you do enjoy this podcast and you like listening to us every week, or you like this episode, whatever, please give us a rating on your podcast listening app of choice on Spotify. Give us cheeky 5 stars Apple, give us a cheeky 5 stars. Can't think of anything else right now, but wherever you listen, if you are able to rate, please do, because on Spotify we're nearly at 400 ratings, which is wild. Insane. You lot are insane.
Please follow us on Instagram, because every time we touch 7K, it gets stripped away from us.
It does,
please,
yeah.
Just get us there.
Give us if you enjoy us, please do all those little things. It really does help. But most important of all, thank you just for the general support. Thank you for listening. Thank you for everything. What a fun episode. I really enjoy, honestly,
what a
really
fun time.
Had a lovely sun. We're recording on a Sunday.
That's a coincidence.
Love a coincidence.
Love a coincidence.
So good. What's that? Oh, I can hear some goblin laughing right now. Better get going. Anyway, thank you so much, Elliot.
Very thank you.
Yeah, and very thank you. Elliot, thank you for joining me today.
No, thank you for joining me. It's been a pleasure, as always. And incidentally, thank you to everybody at home as well.
And we give you air from our lungs. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
What's the matter? Never listened to Come Along Pond podcast before.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.